Today's gospel passage that we just heard Rena read is hard. It's hard to hear and it's hard to make sense of in the world. I know that my anxiety goes up every time that I hear it, and I imagine many of us feel that. I would venture that most of us, if not all of us here, are hearing it with personal experiences that have been painful. Personal experiences of divorce, debates over the definition of marriage, debates over the definition of gender. I come to it with a lens of being married to a man who was divorced. I worry that in preaching about a passage that can remind us of so much pain, I might inadvertently hurt and wound further. But here's the thing. I worry even more about not preaching about this passage. I worry that by remaining silent, I promote past interpretations that do wound and do not respect the dignity of every human being here. I worry about tacitly agreeing to ignore parts of our sacred stories that are hard, that take vulnerable work to engage. Because as we all know, living life, even living life with deep faith, with a sense of God by us always, is sometimes really hard. In life, we do not get to skip the hard parts. We have to learn to wade through them with our imperfections and our doubts. We have to learn to engage them together, listening deeply, trusting in, and maybe even challenging God's love and grace. And when we see others in those times in pain, sometimes all we can do is be present, listen, and say, "This is really hard. I get it. I'm here. God is here. We will muddle through this together." In Mark, Jesus and his disciples are still on their way to Jerusalem, to Jesus' cross. Each step of this journey, Jesus has been ministering to those who are vulnerable, those who are without power, and those who have need and dependency. The Pharisees enter in this scene, and they are people who represent worldly power in the Gospel of Mark, always seeming ready to ask Jesus loaded questions. This time it's, is it lawful for a man to get a divorce? Jesus, in good form, and I imagine with feistiness, says, "What does the law of Moses say?" Not only according to Moses, but according to Roman law at the time, it was lawful for men to get a divorce. Jesus and the Pharisees both knew this. It wasn't about this. And for our common understanding, marriage was not yet considered a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. Marriage was not about love and companionship, but about how society worked, how it was structured, and how it functioned. After the Pharisees respond, Jesus continues that God created man and woman as ideal partners. We should not separate what God has joined. Then Jesus and the disciples are somehow alone in a house off of the road. The disciples ask their common question in Mark, "Huh?" Jesus adds to his previous statement that to remarry after divorce is to commit adultery for both men and women. Scholars today do not know exactly what Jesus meant, nor do they agree. The Bible itself is not of one voice around marriage. We cannot hold up today's verse as the ultimate truth without looking at all of our sacred stories. In much of the Old Testament, the patriarchs have several wives, which we do not recognize today. And in Jesus' own stories, there are many tensions. Jesus ministered to and ministered with the woman at the well who had five husbands. She became one of the true evangelists that we hold up today. He also publicly defends and forgives a woman caught in adultery, a woman who is about to be stoned. Paul, through his epistles, articulates a low view of marriage. Marriage is something you do if you must, if you can't be celibate. Matthew's version of today's passage has a similar tone to Paul. Matthew tacks on the part that implies only get married if you must. views change as God works in our world. And our views of marriage, as followers of the way of Jesus, continue to develop and change as we discern what God is doing in our world today. And God is doing great things. This is true of Jesus' time too. If this part of the gospel was not enough to take in, we next go to the children. The disciples are attempting to prevent little children from reaching Jesus. Jesus welcomes them into his arms, blesses them, and says that we must be like little children to enter the kingdom of God. Why are these two passages together? I venture that Jesus, in each moment of Mark, continues to flip the powers of his world on their head. As is true of his story, Jesus is challenging structures of injustice and inequality. Women and children were incredibly vulnerable members of his society. Women depended on their husbands for financial and social well-being. And this was in a culture in which adultery was only seen as a crime women could commit against their husbands or husbands could commit against other husbands. Divorce left a woman without a home, without income, and possibly a way to live. Jesus' answers provided protection and marriage equality to women within his culture. Note that the Pharisees were not asking if everyone could get a divorce. They were only asking if men could get a divorce. They were only concerned about upholding their power in society and continuing as it was. To this, Jesus said no. Children were not the nurtured, treasured parts of families that they are today. They were seen as completely dependent, a user of valuable resources until they were old enough to contribute. Children were among the lowest part of society too, and yet they had access to Jesus. They had the promise of God's kingdom. These passages portray Jesus' love extended to two vulnerable parts of the population in his life. With this as my foundation, imagining our world today, I hear an acknowledgement that broken relationships, even when it is the most life-giving option, can be painful. And within that pain, we need to tend to and love the vulnerable. I hear that we too need to find ways to care for and elevate those with the least amount of power in our own society today. In this passage, there is the life-giving truth that children and women, outsiders, have an important place in God's kingdom. We too, whether unmarried, married, divorced, childless, remarried, male, female, genderless, have all been outsiders in some capacity. We too can work to flip powers that be in our world and find our place in God's kingdom. God's kingdom is for all of us. It is for you. It is for me. It is where I find my hope.